Well, let's look at what he has to say in his word. This morning you received your worship bulletin as you came in. Thank you to our ushers. And in that area, in the middle of your worship bulletin, you'll see the scripture surfing there. And it's also listed on the back, day by day, but that's for you. That's just your gift. That's for you, an opportunity for you to just spend time reading the whole of God's word, going all the way through it, just you and him. So that he can speak to your heart through the whole of his word. And then as you come here, then we'll look at it. We'll have readings from every one of those chapters, and we'll have messages from three of those chapters that you read that past week. Two Old Testament messages, one New Testament message. And that New Testament will float from Sunday morning to Sunday night to Wednesday night. So let's look at some of the readings from this past week. We're looking now at this past Thursday and Friday's readings. And so turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30, drawing near to the end of 1 Samuel. And if you're new at this, there's a Bible next to you. Just turn. It's still near the beginning. You'll turn past Joshua and Judges and those, and you'll find 1 Samuel. You want chapter 30. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, listen to verse 6. Now this has just happened. David and his men have come back to where they were, to Ziklag, and their women and children, they've all been taken, they've all been captured. And so verse 6, it says this, let me pray before we move on. Lord, please speak to us through your word. Thank you that you do. We thank you that it's living and it's active, and we just ask that you would open our hearts to receive it. Whatever you're telling us, that we would hear your voice, that we would go and do what you're telling us. Lord, help us. We pray it in Jesus' name. And Lord, get me out of the way. In your name we pray. Amen. In verse 6, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Maybe you're going through a hard time right now. But you can find strength in the Lord your God, just like David. Chapter 31, verses 1 to 3 says this. Now the Philistines fought against Israel. The Israelites fled before them, and many fell slain on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines pressed hard after Saul and his sons, and they killed his sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. The fighting grew fierce around Saul, and when the archers overtook him, they wounded him critically, and later he died. Prophecy fulfilled. Saul had just gone to Samuel, gotten Samuel back up, and Samuel said, your sons and you will die. Well, there's the fulfillment. And then chapter, every one of God's prophecies will be fulfilled. And there's so much prophecy in His Word that has been fulfilled and that will be fulfilled. And chapter, and then that brings us to 2 Samuel. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 1, look at verse 11 and 12. It says this. Then David and all the men with him took hold of their clothes and tore them. They've just heard about the death of King Saul and his sons. And so David and all the men with him took hold of their clothes and tore them. They mourned and wept and fasted till evening for Saul and his son Jonathan and for the army of the Lord and the house of Israel because they had fallen by the sword. They fasted. They mourned and they fasted. You know, fasting is an incredible thing. Jesus said, when you fast, do this. And he gave us instructions. He expected that we'd be fasting if we're a believer. In Matthew chapter 6, he gives us some instructions on this. But he didn't say, if you fast, do this. And remember, Jesus said, when you fast, do this. And there are many different opportunities and times for fasting. Here is a fast in mourning. When someone's mourning. In chapter 2, hold your place there. We're going to dive down in just a minute in chapter 2. And then in our New Testament readings, you can turn over to 1 Corinthians. And you want 1 Corinthians. Actually, yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So if you're new at this, that's the last third of your Bible is the New Testament. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Keep going. You'll see Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, these first three verses, listen to what God tells us here. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? Wow, so that's a good word for me and for any of us here. Do you have any jealousy or quarreling? You're not very mature in Christ. You're being worldly. We need to live by the Spirit, act by the Spirit. That's maturity in Christ. And in chapter 4, we see in verse 1, so then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Wow, every believer, you've been entrusted with the secret things of God. The Spirit has been given to you. The veil has been lifted. You can understand God's Word. You can hear what God is speaking to you if you're a believer in your spirit. The rest of the world, anybody else who reads the Word, they don't understand it. There's a veil. Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers, but you've been given the secret things. If you've truly come to Him yet. If you've truly come to Him yet. And if you have not, do that this morning. And then in Psalm, that's kind of in the middle of the Bible, and then you turn back a little bit, you'll see Psalms. In Psalm, we already read from Psalm 135. In Psalm 136, God says this. In the first three verses, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. And that chant just continues throughout that whole psalm. It's an incredible song. I listened to it. On my phone. The other day, and it was just so encouraging. You just listen, and every other verse you hear, His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. And it goes through the history of God's hand at work. We'll turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 2. Let's look here together. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, let me ask you this question this morning. Who do you lead? You just think about that. That's for you to answer personally. Who do you lead? And if you're already saying, I don't lead anybody, I'm not a leader. Oh, no, that's not true. You think a little harder, to lead is to have influence. It's to influence someone. Who do you have influence over? Who do you influence? That's leading. Maybe that brings some more to your mind. But you need to answer that question this morning in your own life. Who do you lead? And it's probably multiple. It's probably multiple individuals or groups of people or whatever. You just have to think through it all. Who do you lead? Just a couple of mine. I lead my family, the leader of the home. I lead this church. I'm the pastor of this church. I lead a baseball team. We're just about done now. But a baseball team. You think about it. You think about it. Maybe you're in a position at work and you lead some people. Maybe you're leading an elderly parent right now. Now that elderly parent, whereas they used to lead you, now they're kind of looking to you. Maybe you lead an elderly parent. You just think maybe there's grandchildren. Maybe there's great-grandchildren. Who do you lead? Maybe there's other kids at school and you don't know it, but they're watching you. They're watching you. Other kids at church. Who do you lead? Well, we can learn some incredible things right here. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Learn from David, who's being anointed as king here. What an incredible man of God. God said, this is a man after my own heart. What a leader. I love looking at King David as a leader, a man after God's own heart. And we can learn some things from him right here. And you can take those things that you learn from David's leadership and his leading, and you can apply them right there to your elderly parent or that kid at school that's a friend of yours or that baseball team. You can apply it, or that work situation. You can apply it right here, that child that you're trying, whoever you're leading. Learn from David through God's example through David. So let's look at it in these first seven verses. In the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah? He asked. You see, King Saul had just died, and David had already been anointed as king, told that he was going to be the next king, privately. But David is about to be anointed king over Judah. But he needs to know when to go up. King Saul is now off the scene, and now it's going to be David's turn. And so what does he do right here in verse 1? In the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah? He asked, for them to anoint him as king. The Lord said, go up. David asked, where shall I go? To Hebron, the Lord answered. So David went up there with his two wives, Ahinoam and Jezreel, and Abigail, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David also took the men who were with him, each with his family, and they settled in Hebron and its towns. Then the men of Judah came to Hebron, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. When David was told it was the men of Jabesh-Gilead who had buried Saul, he sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead to say to them, the Lord bless you for showing this kindness to Saul your master by burying him. May the Lord now show you kindness and faithfulness, and I too will show you the same favor because you have done this. Now then, be strong and brave, for Saul your master is dead, and the house of Judah has anointed me king over them. Who do you lead? And what can you learn right now from God's example through David? Well, first of all, whoever you're leading, think of that person. Seek the Lord's guidance. We learned that first from David. Whoever you're leading, whatever situation you're leading in, seek the Lord's guidance. We see that in verse 1. In the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah? He asked. The Lord said, go up. David asked, where shall I go? To Hebron, the Lord answered. He inquired of the Lord. Whoever you lead, as you lead, as people look to you for influence, go to the Lord first. Seek the Lord's guidance in that relationship, in you leading that person. I did this before ball. Every practice and every game to prepare. I spent some time right before that game or right before that practice, and I just got before the Lord and I just asked the Lord, Lord, I don't know how to coach baseball. What do you have for this team? What's next? And I'd pray for each one of them, and I'd just seek the Lord's guidance. What do you want for our practice? What do you want for this game? Seek the Lord's guidance. Have you done that with whoever you're leading? Do you do that in that relationship where you're leading? Proverbs chapter 4 would certainly advise you to do that in that relationship and in all of life. In Proverbs chapter 4, God hits us with that. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get understanding. That is to know the Lord's will. To know the Lord's will. Don't just step out on the baseball field. Get wisdom. Know the Lord's will. Don't just lead that person, that group of people. Get wisdom. Know the Lord's will at any given time. We are to have wisdom, to get wisdom, to know wisdom. God tells us, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So at any given time that you don't understand what the Lord's will is, you don't know what His will is, that's foolish. It's living foolishly. Inquire of the Lord. Go to the Lord. Seek the Lord's guidance as you lead. Next, follow the Lord, bringing them with you. And so, whoever you're leading, seek the Lord's guidance. Go to the Lord and get wisdom. And then when you get it, and He gives you, you see, that's what happened here. David inquired of the Lord, and then, of course, he got an answer. If you inquire of the Lord, he got his answer. Shall I go up? Go up. David asked, where shall I go? To Hebron. So he received wisdom. Now he got wisdom. What's next? Well, he needs to follow the Lord, bringing them with him. He needs to take what he's heard. He inquired of the Lord. Now take it and do it and bring them with him. So that's our next point. Follow the Lord, bringing them with you after you've sought the Lord's guidance. You see that in verse 2 and 3. So David went up there with his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David also took the men who were with him. So he's leading these men too, each with his family. And they settled in Hebron and its towns. Follow the Lord, bringing them with you. So first seek the Lord's guidance in whoever you're leading. Then when He gives it to you, and you got it, you got wisdom, then bring them with you. Follow the Lord. Do it. You know, it's one thing to have wisdom. It's another thing to do wisdom. You can have wisdom, but there's you got to look at both of those. Having wisdom versus doing wisdom. You can go to that first step and seek the Lord's guidance, and you can have wisdom. He can lay it on your heart, and He can let you know what you need to do, and you can hesitate, and you can hold back, and you cannot do it, and that's all disobedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. Not obeying fully or immediately, disobedience. So you can have wisdom, you can know what He wants, and after you've inquired of the Lord, but it's another thing to do it. That's what this step is. Follow the Lord, bringing them with you. You got to do it. You got to take action. You see, Solomon was he was the wisest man that ever lived. He wrote pretty much most of the book of Proverbs, and God gave him more wisdom than He's ever given anybody. But his life didn't turn out that good in the end. What happened? He didn't do it. He had it all. But then later on, he didn't do it. He was more wise than anybody. But you got to do it. You got to act on it. So whoever you're leading, seek the Lord's guidance. Get wisdom. Get it. And then follow the Lord, bringing them with you. You got to do it. Are you doing it? And then next, be sensitive to others the Lord wants you to lead. What about that? What about the people out there that you don't even know about yet? You're not leading them yet. But are you sensitive to that? Are you sensitive to His Spirit and what He's telling you? Be sensitive to others the Lord wants you to lead. We see that in verse 4. Then the men of Judah came to Hebron, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And so he went with his wives and his men, those that were already following him. Then he got there, and then these others came. Then the men of Judah came to Hebron, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. Be sensitive to others the Lord wants you to lead. Always be listening. Get up in the morning. Get your focus on the Lord. Get your eyes fixed on Jesus. Say, God, open my spiritual eyes. Open my spiritual ears that I can hear you. And then be listening. Be listening all day long. God, what are you telling me? What are you saying all day long? Be listening so you can be sensitive to others the Lord wants you to lead. Others He may bring in your path that day. Others He may want you to influence, to lead. in a given day. So be sensitive to others the Lord wants you to lead. Be sensitive to those He brings your way. We see two different things here. Be sensitive to those He brings your way that He wants you to lead, and then also those He wants you to go after. There are others that He wants you to go after. He wants you to lead them. You got to go get them, though. And there are others that He brings to you and He wants you to lead. Be sensitive to others the Lord wants you to lead. First of all, those He brings your way. We see that in verse 4. They came to Him and they anointed Him as king. Who is He bringing your way? Do you recognize that? Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Who has He brought in your life lately? Are you listening? Does He want you to lead them? Who else? Other than the ones you're already leading, who else? You know, sometimes it just plays out like this. I was on a field trip with Anna at the zoo, maybe this past week or sometime. And one of the teachers came to me. This was on a Tuesday. And actually, the whole school was at the zoo. Christian's teacher came to me. And she, Mrs. Franklin, she came to me and she said, "Derek," she said, "I need your help." And I said, "What?" And she said, "Could you please watch my class on Thursday from 10 to 1 or something like that?" And but I couldn't. But my point is, I told her, "Well, I'm already here today. You know, I've got some things I've got to be doing that morning." But the point is, sometimes those opportunities will come to you. Be sensitive to those the Lord wants you to lead. I prayed about it right then after she asked me. I said, "Give me a few minutes." I said, "Let me look at my calendar." And I prayed in my own heart. Yeah, there's a lot of people around, but I'm praying. You know, "Lord, you want me to watch that class this Tuesday?" No. Got my answer, inquired of the Lord. But it could have been the other way. But we got to be sensitive. We got to be listening. Are you listening to those that He brings your way? Who else does He want you to lead? Are you praying about other opportunities? And another thing we need to notice here as we're leading people is always express gratitude to others. Always express gratitude to others. Look at what David does in the second part of verse 4 through verse 6. It says, "When David was told that it was the men of Jabesh-Gilead who had buried Saul, he sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead to say to them, 'The Lord bless you for showing this kindness to Saul, your master, by burying him. May the Lord now show you kindness and faithfulness, and I too will show you the same favor because you have done this.'" Wow, David expressed his gratitude to people. We need to always, as we're leading people and just in general, as a believer, we need to always be expressing our gratitude to others. We don't do that enough. Do you have an attitude of gratitude? Be careful. We're quick to criticize or quick to point out something wrong at a restaurant or with our server. And we need to do the opposite, don't we? We need to show a spirit of gratitude and commend people. People don't get that enough. We ate in Birmingham at Johnny Rockets one time when we were seeing somebody in the hospital, my family, and we had the best server we've ever had in our lives. This young black guy, he was incredible. Everything he did. And so before we left, I went straight up to that counter. I said, "Where's your manager?" So I got to talk to that manager. I said, "Man, this guy is the best server. He is incredible." I have to tell you, that was about the best server that I can remember that I've ever seen. Just want to let you know that. You think that gratitude may have influenced him, helped him some in his manager's eyes, that kind of thing. We need to do that more and more. Anytime we're thankful for something, we need to let those people know. Not just hold back, hold it in, and think it to ourselves. "Oh, you know, I'm so thankful. That was so nice." No, let them know. And sometimes we wait till somebody's funeral. And then we start telling them everything we appreciated about them. And then it's too late. Always express gratitude to others. And then Also, still talking about being sensitive to others, the Lord wants you to lead. Those He brings your way, always express gratitude to others. And then those He wants you to go after. We see that in verse 7. See, in verse 7, the men of Jabesh-Gilead. Now David, yeah, he's gratitude, he's grateful to him, and he's going after him too. Verse 7, "Now then, be strong and brave, for Saul your master is dead, and the house of Judah has anointed me king over them." David's saying, you know, I want to lead you guys now too, you know. Be sensitive to those He wants you to go after. Who does He want you to lead? You know, I've prayed and prayed about it before, especially being pastor here in this church. And the Lord has laid certain people on my heart that I need to be going after, that I purposefully need to be influencing as leaders and just pouring everything I can into them. And I know that, and I know who they are, and I have their names, and I pray for them. And who does God want you going after to lead? Who does He want you going after? So put it all together. Who do you lead? You think about that person right now or those people. Maybe the Lord's brought some other people to mind as the message went on. Maybe you thought of some others. Who do you lead? Who do you lead? What do you do? Here's what you do. To be like David, God's example through David. Seek the Lord's guidance. Follow the Lord, bringing them with you. Be sensitive to others the Lord wants you to lead, those He brings your way. Always express gratitude to others. And then those He wants you to go after, be sensitive to those. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank You, Lord, that we are all leaders. That You've given every one of us, You've entrusted relationships and people to every one of us. And You have called each one of us here to be influencers over certain people at different times. Lord, help us in that. Help us in that. And Lord, maybe there's somebody here today that they realize the biggest need of their life before they ever try to get out and lead anybody else is maybe they realize that they're being led to You. That they first and foremost need to go to You, Jesus. That they need to come into Your flock. That they need to first be led by You, their King, their Lord Jesus Christ, that they need to give their lives to You and find the forgiveness of their sins and repent and turn to You so that they may have all of their sins wiped out by what You did on the cross for them in Your resurrection. Lord, maybe there's somebody that just needs to start there. And then they need to say, well, Lord, I first need to just be led by You. I've been leading my own life, Lord. I've been in control of my own life. And Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I turn to You and I want to tell You I'm a sinner. And I know You died for my sins. And I believe You're God in the flesh. And You paid for my sins. And You're raised from the dead. And right now I give my life to You. I want to follow You. I want You to lead me. I want to be Your sheep. And so I surrender to You. And I thank You for, as I trust in You for the forgiveness of my sins, I thank You for that gift, Lord. And now that I've done that, Lord, help me to lead others. Help me to influence others by first being baptized, following You in baptism and leading others that way. And then, Lord, in everything I do, may I lead others to You, to be Your disciples, to grow in You, Lord. And Lord, help all of us with those that we lead to do that. Help us all, Lord, to lead people to You first and foremost, and then to lead people to be connected to Your body, to a church, to a small group Bible study, to a group of 12. Help us to connect them there and lead them there, Lord. And Lord, help us to lead them to lead others to You. Help us in these things, Lord. And Lord, if You're leading someone to this church, Lord, to connect here, to join this fellowship, may they do that. We pray these things in Jesus' name.